In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, December 28th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Washington Post reports that over 1 million refugees have fled from war-torn Syria to Lebanon. Thousands are estimated to be Christians. Many, like the Farman Curia family, lived comfortable lives before militants began killing, burning, and kidnapping. Now, with so many others in Lebanon, they have experienced what some are calling a Christmas of despair, struggling just to have food and shelter. Do not despair. Seek the kingdom. Jesus said, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Matthew 6:31-33. Wheaton College professor Laricia Hawkins caused a stir a few weeks ago, claiming that Christians and Muslims worship, quote, "the same God," unquote. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, responded at his blog saying, "Christians and Muslims do not worship the same God. Christians worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and no other God. We know the Father through the Son, and it is solely through Christ's atonement for sin that salvation has come." A new national survey from Quinnipiac University says that more than half of Americans think Islam is a religion of peace and are not opposed to Muslim immigration to the United States. However, the poll also showed that most Americans are opposed to receiving more Syrian refugees. A Bangladeshi mosque was bombed Friday, killing one person and leaving a dozen wounded in the latest of a string of attacks in the Muslim-majority nation. Other attacks include bombings of mosques and Hindu temples, for which the Islamic State claimed responsibility. Bangladesh has endured a wave of Islamic violence this year, with two foreigners, four writers, and a publisher being killed. The Bang Zamora Islamic Freedom Fighters, a breakaway Muslim rebel group, killed 9 civilians in the southern Philippines in a series of attacks carried out on Christmas Eve. 7 of the victims were farmers, working in their rice paddies. Army troops succeeded in killing 4 members of the Muslim rebel group. In contrast, the openly Christian Filipino boxer Emmanuel Manny Pacquiao has reportedly spent more than $600,000 buying 150 homes and donating them to the homeless in Bales Village in the town of Masim, where he serves as a congressman. According to the Christian Post, the philanthropist prize fighter and father of 5 said beneficiaries should give thanks to God and take good care of their property. Sources on the ground in Syria said Zoran Alush, a top Syrian rebel leader, was killed Friday during aerial attacks. Alush was the head of Jaish al-Islam, the strongest insurgent group in the eastern suburbs of Damascus. Rebel leader Nabib al-Nahas said this should be a turning point in the history of the revolution. Japanese officials said Saturday an armed Chinese Coast Guard vessel unlawfully entered their territorial waters. The area claimed by both Japan and China has seen Chinese vessels in the past, but this is the first time armed Chinese vessels have been sighted there. 5 people were killed on Saturday when 4 tornadoes touched down near Dallas, Texas. The unseasonably warm weather had gotten worse with Christmas Day tornadoes in Alabama that caused flooding. Homes were damaged across the South, and hundreds have lost power. Some were homeless for Christmas. Last week's storm death total was 23. Many who were rejoicing are now in mourning. God's words tell us to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian was allowed a Christmas Day visit with his wife and mother while being imprisoned in Iran. He was convicted in closed proceedings earlier this year after being charged with espionage, according to Fox News. The Post's executive editor Martin Barron described Rezaian's internment as 522 days of tragic, unjust imprisonment of a good, honorable, and innocent man. "The Lord is the one who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free," Psalm 146, 7. And that's the worldview on this Monday, December 28th, in the year of our Lord 2015. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Over the last 22 years, we've been home educating our children. Out in Elbert County, Colorado, Steve Vaughn, also same deal, except more like Arapahoe County.
Yeah, I'm in Arapahoe County.
I thought so. Okay, just slightly north of here, but that's okay. We are all a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization.
I'm a little closer than you are.
Always speaking metaphorically, though.
Yes.
It's not a geography issue.
That's true.
Right. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Sort of that. Getting away from the world, the flesh, the devil kind of thing. Okay, now, here's the issue we're going to address in this edition of the program. That is the attack on freedom. And friends, it is not over. It is not over. We've been saying this for a long time. Obergefell was just the beginning. That's another opening up of Pandora's box. And the fallout from Obergefell is yet to be seen over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And it's not looking good for Christian education in America, for Christian colleges in America. It is not looking good, friends. It is not looking good. I repeat that one more time. It is not looking good. Here's a judge in Massachusetts clamped down on a Catholic school. He ruled that they were guilty of discrimination because they rescinded a job offer to a man later discovered to be a homosexual. Evidently, he interviewed for a job as director of food services at Fontbonne Academy, an all-girls Catholic school, 2013. Offered the job, he listed his husband as his emergency contact, and the school rescinded the offer. Well, Judge Douglas Wilkins ruled the academy was guilty of discrimination, despite the school arguing that Barrett's lifestyle was inconsistent with his teaching. Now, this, again, a violation of freedom on hundreds of levels. Okay, you go back hundreds and hundreds of years, and you look at the 800-year legacy of freedom in the Western world, and you can read it in my book, Freedom, just released. I encourage you to get a copy for all your kids and grandkids, because this heritage is something we've got to hang on to over the next 80 years. Got to, if you've got the courage and the faith to do it. But this is an attack on freedom on 100 different levels. I mean, you're talking about property rights. These people ought to have the right to hire and fire whoever they will. Property rights, the basic freedom. But then, of course, religious freedom, celebration of homosexuality, and preparation for the Greek form of education, which, as you know, involves whatever's going on in the gymnasium.
Right.
Very, very ugly stuff. Okay, I don't want to get into a lot of the details. But that's the direction. We're going the direction of Harry Potter's mentor and Hiccup's mentor in How to Train Your Dragon. That's the direction we're headed. And you know, obvious. It's incredibly obvious. I mean, these guys aren't trying to hide anything, ladies and gentlemen, not trying to hide a thing. They're idealizing the Greek form of education. This is the direction we're heading, and this is what this judge is doing, Judge Douglas Wilkins, by inviting homosexuals into Christian schools now.
It's going to be the churches here fairly soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think freedom's got much of a chance in the near future. That's why all we can do right now is write books and train our children, if we still have the opportunity to give them a biblical world and life view, keep them out of the public schools so they won't be polytheists and socialists, which is exactly what the public schools will tell you they will train your kids to be. If you can keep them out of those schools, and for at least a generation we can pull off a very slim minority of kids who are trained in a biblical way of thinking, if we can get a shot at this, freedom will have a shot. But for the 2016 elections, I give Hillary Clinton 80% chance. People are asking me, Republicans, they're very unified. Everybody's coming around one candidate. Everything's just, I mean, it's just going so smooth.
For the Republicans?
Yeah. No. It's not looking good for the Republicans.
They're not unified at all.
I'd give Hillary Clinton an 80% chance of getting elected in 2016. Again, friends, I don't know what God's going to do. God could have mercy on this nation. That's why I'm not saying it's 100% chance for Hillary Clinton. But this is the direction we're headed as a nation. There is zero indication of any real repentance going on in this nation. And I called the nation to repentance in the public forum, and I was severely mocked for it. Of course, everybody knows that. But that's not my concern. My concern is not what the media thought about a call to repentance to this nation. And I looked at sexual sin, not just homosexuality, but I drew in other forms of sin as well. But here's my question. Where across the nation do we even find a little bit of repentance going on in nooks and crannies? I mean, tiny little churches somewhere where, you know, there's actually, you know, 60 people coming to repentance. And they're falling on their faces and with humble and contrite hearts before God and worshiping God and repenting of sin. And we begin to see profound changes occurring in tiny little nooks and crannies. I would love to see a little bit, I mean, a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of repentance going on somewhere across this country. And I'm just not seeing it. Now, if I don't see it in the nooks and crannies, why in the world would God bless the nation? That's my question.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Why wouldn't Hillary Clinton get full reign upon this nation to continue the destructive pattern, destroy the social fabric of the nation, the family, of course, so that, of course, there will be 75% of kids born outside of wedlock to single mothers by the year 2030. And so to be sure that tremendous majorities of American kids are taken down the track towards homosexuality, towards the destruction of sexuality, with pornography habits, illegitimate divorce, the shack-up rates being 30 times what they were in 1970 and so forth. Of course, that's the direction the nation is heading right now. Why? Because there is so little repentance and so few calls for repentance on the part of the pastors and the local churches across this country. Well, what's the future hold for this nation? Christian schools will have to shut down. Christian colleges will be forced to accommodate homosexuals or shut down. Homosexual dorms for Patrick Henry College, for Grove City. That's the direction we're headed, my friends. And the moderate Kennedy will be replaced by a liberal on the bench. Okay, that's what's going to happen with Hillary Clinton. I think everybody knows this. Everybody understands that we are headed towards huge religious persecutions. And embrace yourself for this. Be sure, be ready for pastors to go to jail in the United States, especially anybody who's going to read from the Bible, the Word of God. Anybody's got the guts to read the Word of God in the public forum or in churches across this country. I'm talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about reading from Romans 1, Leviticus 20, and 1 Corinthians 6, and other unpopular passages. If you read from these passages, you will be persecuted badly, really badly. The bad guys can hardly wait to put you in jail. You all understand that. And homeschooling will be the last resort. But even that's going to be tenuous, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll seek to make that illegal as well, because they've got to train all the kids. You know, it's just like that Pueblo judge said, you know, we consider all the children in Colorado to belong to the state, and that's what they want.
Best news for 2015, however, this is the good news, is the Gen 2 survey. And if you haven't seen it, friends, if you don't understand what's happened with home education over the last 20 years, you've got to get a hold of the Gen 2 survey. And we can send you a copy of, I still have like 100 copies of the four-color brochure, 20-page brochure we put together summarizing the Gen 2 survey. And the most positive result, you give me something more optimistic than this. Maybe there's something else going on, but there was something here. And I want to leave this segment with a positive edge, because 82% of those homeschooled in the first generation said, yeah, we're on board with our parents' legacy. We want to continue this. And if that be the case, we estimate 10 million home-educated students by 2030. As long as we don't get discouraged, as long as people don't get fearful and intimidated by the left, which is happening a lot these days. I'm sensing this with a lot of leaders. People are scared, you know, because the left has got the upper hand. They know it since Obergefell. They know they're in control. They're in the driver's seat. And so those who take up the minority, those who are the 2, 3, 4%, are scared. I mean, they're scared. They're scared of the left and what the left might do. But if we can be courageous, we can be strong and very courageous in the Lord and lead on in faith over the next 10 years, some tremendous things might happen. Some wonderful things may happen. But it's always a very, very thin minority. Remember the history of the battle for freedom in my book, Freedom, that's just come out. Always shows that any kind of freedom survived because of a very, very, very thin minority that was always pared down because almost everybody else was afraid. There's a lot of fear, very little courage. But Robert the Bruce, virtually alone, at points completely alone, and guys like William the Silent, who stood against the persecutions that came down upon the Reformed at that time from the Catholic Philip II, bringing in an Inquisition, he said, would be twice as bad as the Spanish Inquisition. We will torture, and we will kill and kill and kill, and we will murder every single Protestant or Reformed person in the Netherlands. And yet one man stood against it, virtually alone, lost almost everything, lost all of his political support, lost all of his belongings, lost all of his lands, lost his wife, lost three brothers, and lost his oldest son, who was kidnapped by Philip II in the contest, and then lost his own life. At the end, he was assassinated by Philip II in 1582. But he brought about freedom for the Netherlands. By the time he died in 1582, and of course that was where the Pilgrims got protection 18 mm-hmm. years after he died. Amazing story. The worst place on earth became the best place on earth because of one man who stood in the gap. Always a minority. Always a tiny, courageous, dedicated minority that makes a difference. The evil almost always completely overwhelms and outnumbers the good guys because the hearts of men are governed by the works of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions. That's the default setting for the works of the flesh. And I doubt there will ever be a majority of good guys. But the course of history is set by a principled, dedicated minority, either for the cause of evil or for the cause of good. But for the cause of evil, it's much, much easier for them to dominate than the cause of good. But it takes faith for the good guys to lead and to gain something of a bit of freedom in the Netherlands or in America by the year 1776. Friends, we'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. Believe it or not, home education, the last resort for freedom in the Western world. But the UK government now is going after homeschooling parents. We'll talk about that next on Generations.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gift for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with just Steve Vaughn, also in studio. Steve, I love speaking of freedom. Can you tell?
just slightly. But freedom's good.
Freedom's great. It's a blessing. Now, it's not a guarantee.
That's right.
It's not a guarantee, and it's not so much something that we're obligated to as something we're blessed with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a gift from God.
Yeah.
But it seems as though that God allows evil to have its full ride at times. You know, you look at the times of Noah. You get down to 8 people in the entire world. You get to Abraham. The iniquity of the Amorite was not yet full. But when it was, God moved in. You have one person, little David, who's up against the Philistines and against Goliath. But I liked what David said. You know, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And it always has been, and it always will be. He likes to use us so that we get to see him work in this world.
And that's the point, I think, with William the Silent.
Yeah.
And Robert the Bruce. And these amazing stories that continue throughout history, after biblical history. And that's why I really enjoy telling those stories in my new book, Freedom. One of the most inspiring investigations I've ever been on in my life. And I'm sure, friends, you're going to read more of these books if you get a flavor for it in my book, Freedom. But now, the UK is going after home education parents as poisoning the kids. Education Secretary Nicky Morgan has ordered a review of homeschooling in England over fears of radicalization. She's afraid that children's minds may be poisoned by radicalized parents. An unnamed senior government source says there has always been the freedom in this country for people to educate their children at home. Many people do it very well, but we need to know where the children are and to be certain that they are safe. We're here from the government. We're here to help you. We're going to help you.
Yep.
For every parent doing a brilliant job, there may be someone filling their children's minds with poison.
Who defines brilliant?
We just don't know. We don't have reliable figures. Did it feel a little 1984-ish to you?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get a camera in every home.
Yeah.
That'll fix it. They've also hired extra inspectors to, quote, eradicate extremism in education. Extremism in education? I wonder what that is.
Yeah. Maybe teaching that Christ is Lord.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe somebody who teaches that Marxism and socialism is of the devil, and a Marxist control of education ought to be completely eradicated.
That's
like,
extremist.
Like, I would say an extremist would be somebody who teaches that we ought to eradicate the Department of Education.
That would make you an extremist, wouldn't it?
Nicky Morgan and her whole department.
Yes.
That's an extreme. I'm guessing Nicky Morgan would say, that's extremism.
Yeah. So as long as we get to define the term. So we get to define what's brilliant, and we get to define what's extremist.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we will put everybody else into that definition. And as long as we have control as the government, then, homeschooling then becomes nothing anyway.
I wonder if she would eradicate us.
Oh, I bet she would.
I bet she would, yeah. I suppose also the extremist is one who reads the Old Testament. Romans 1, Leviticus 20, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody who does that is already castigated as poisonous in our world. Just check out the mainstream media. But biblically speaking, education belongs to the family.
Yes.
And I think we need to come back to that principle again and again. Historically speaking, come on, you got to read the history of the modern public education system and the compulsory attendance laws. And I've got that in my book on modern apostates and the chapter on Marx and Jean-Jacques Rousseau and how they move towards the compulsory education laws. And by the way, it was tried once in AD 70 in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It was very short-lived.
Yes.
It didn't last long. And God pretty much wiped out the whole idea. But it came back with Jean-Jacques Rousseau and some of these horrendous philosophers behind the French Revolution who brought about a demonic hold upon the entire modern world. But their idea was to bring back the compulsory attendance law that died in AD 70, you know, after attempting it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it came back. And it's pretty much dominating every single country in the modern developed world. And the only people that have been somewhat exempted have been home educators. And not exactly exempted, but somewhat exempted. Well, of course, that's all a abdication of biblical concept of parental rights. And this violates biblical jurisdictions. And for that reason, it is an abridgment of freedom in the modern world. And this, of course, I believe to be a substantial freedom. And as I deal with all the issues of freedom and define it biblically by God's law in my new book, Freedom, I deal with parental freedoms in a fairly extensive chapter. And I think we all are very much indebted to Homeschool Legal Defense Association and other family legal defense associations that have fought tooth and nail for parental rights, parental freedom for many years. And we so appreciate the work of Chris Klicka, Mike Ferris, and others. These people are heroes to the cause of freedom in the modern world. No getting around it. That's why I'm dedicating something in my book on freedom to that substantial freedom. Now, I compare the freedom to light up a pot cigarette to parental freedoms. Which freedom is more important? And you've got to say that, biblically speaking, the most important freedoms are those that are defined and defended by biblical law. And parental freedom is one of those. So that's why we fight for these. Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4 puts education in the jurisdictional boundary of the parent themselves. And also, let me include 1 Samuel 8:10 and 11. This is a very important part of biblical freedom, parental freedoms, as defined by the Bible. And this is where Samuel's warning the people of tyrannical kings. He says, the tyrannical kings will rise up. He's warning. He said, be careful. You want tyrannical kings, you're going to see an abridgment of freedom. Just be very, very careful. Now, of course, we have tyrannical kings and we have tyrannical democratic republics. And democratic republics can tend to be just as bad as dictatorships and monarchies. I'm sorry, but they just are. They just are. They become a curse to the entire world when they bring about the kind of tyranny we have seen. But here's the warning, 1 Samuel 8, 10 and 11. He said, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will take your daughters. Now, what does that mean? The tyrant will take your children. He will train them and he will work them into his own economy and thereby destroy the family economy. No, that's very, very strange. People go, it's very, very strange. It's happening all the time. This is pretty much modus operandi. This is what happens to 99% of our children. Maybe not quite that many, but a lot of our kids are pulled out of the family economy and trained to be citizens of the state. And that was the goal of Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Johann Fichte and some of these philosophers who are writing about modern public education in the 1760s and the 1820s. This is where it began. Of course, not many people study this. Not many people understand what happened to the family in the 19th century, thanks to the modern philosophers who said the children belong to the state. That's what Jean-Jacques Rousseau said. That's what Johann Fichte said. The children belong to the state. And that's what that judge in Pueblo you just quoted said when we were discussing the compulsory attendance law. It was a little bit of a debate going on in the House Education Committee, as I recall, about 5 or 6 years ago. Yes, the judge from Pueblo said all of Colorado's children belong to us. And he was looking at the homeschoolers who were there to sort of debate the issue in the committee meeting that day. Well, that's the philosophy that came down from the 19th century philosophers, the socialist philosophers, that gained control of the children in the 19th century. And it's only been in the last 30 to 40 years we've regained a little bit of freedom for parents and for the family jurisdiction in the modern age.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think we're being called to do is to take steps of faith to fight this battle. It's God's battle, yeah, but David still had to pick up the stones and sling the rocks. And I also look at when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, when they were crossing the Red Sea, you know, Moses, you know, hit the water with the rod, but when they were crossing the Jordan, it's almost as if they needed to get their feet wet before the waters parted. And so we have got to, you know, God's leading us. He's training us to have faith in him because the battle is the Lord. But we've got to do what God is calling us to do.
And I want to encourage the leaders right now, especially amongst the homeschoolers, the Christian schools, not to be discouraged. I know the odds are against us. I know it feels like we're right there in the wilderness years on the cusp of the Jordan and about you know, 8 out of 10 spies are saying, ain't going to happen, ain't going to happen. Yeah, there's a breach of confidence and courage right now amongst the homeschool movements across this country. I sense it as a homeschooler leader, and I've been leading this movement for about 16 years now. I really sense way, way more fear than I've ever sensed before. But please be strong, be very courageous right now. This is the time not to languish. This is the time to be Caleb and Joshua.
Amen.
The battle is ours because the battle is the Lord's. That's exactly
Amen.
What Steve just said. We need that attitude as we face the giants in the land. And yes, the giants are getting bigger, much, much bigger after Obergefell and after their promise that they will come after us and they will persecute us. They will persecute the church. They will persecute Christian schools and homeschools. They have promised that. But now is the time to be of great courage. And I would encourage you to read Joshua chapter 1 because I think that will give us the courage to lead on in our day, even as Joshua did in his. Well, my friends, grab a copy of Freedom, the brand new book just hot off the press on the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. If you love freedom, if it runs a little bit in your veins and you want it to run in the veins of your kids and grandkids, be sure to buy multiple copies for your children and grandchildren. If you need a cut on that price, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can get all of our resources at generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.